Shooting it raw?
Yes. Shooting it raw.
Photography, memories, you know, photography is actually one of my first passion and hobbies. So I'm aging myself. Even in college, well, I loved photography. I had SLRs, and I spent some of my quality time. I had darkroom. I took a photography class in college, and it was quiet time. It's solace time. It helps reflect myself. And so then when digital cameras arrived, I would take everything with me. So it's a way to capture my memory. I'm not saying I have the best memories, but just even today, Shutterfly sent me, so I'm giving a shout out to Shutterfly, but it gave me a 12 years ago memory, and I was able just to look and reflect. And so I'm really big on reflection, assessment, evolution of where I am. And I think photography allows those moments in time.
First of all, Kendra Dodd, thank you for joining me on the podcast. This is super exciting. Everyone answers a question a little differently in terms of what does photography mean to them. Yeah, like darkroom, SLRs, really getting, and then how the cameras have migrated or changed. And here we are today. So these conversations are kind of strange because we start with four of your photos. I don't look at them beforehand. And then just through discovery, it's kind of like, oh, I come with curiosity and openness, and you're taking me to school. So it's easy peasy for you, because we're just talking about what makes, you know, what makes sense to you and how you make every second count. So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. It's an honor.
Well, let's see if it is.
Yeah, it is. It is. When you finally get to a place and being able to meet people, it's always an honor. But that you'll learn that is something that I love to do, is meeting people. So as we migrate today, yes.
Oh, great, great, great. Okay, so let's dive in. I'm super excited. This is great. Kendra Dodd. Okay, so it's a photo of the two copies of the same book on a desk, and it says, My 3-year diary.
Yes.
The cover is interesting because it looks almost like it's, what's it called, like leather. It's like it almost looks like this leather-printed, leather-bound book. It's the two books are reddish, so there's like this nice sort of color to it. My 3-year diary in this dark sort of burnt, I don't know, seared kind of imprint onto the leather. It's a really interesting presentation. Are you telling me this is your book?
Those are my diaries. So if you look at, I am entering my 4th year journey of writing. So I used to journal every now and then, but I never was dedicated daily. And so daily, this journal, the way it's set up, one page will have year one and then year two, year three. So today's date is, you know, April 5th. So we'll have April 5th of 2024, 25, 26, or et cetera. So I accomplished last year in 2023, 3 years every day journaling.
Okay.
And it's set up. And so you can look at, so it's really nice. Then you can reflect on the last year and the year prior than that what you were doing during that time. It's very nice, and it's pre-scripted, so it's not that long. It will ask you what was the weather like? What were you feeling within that day? What were the highlights? What were the projects? And what was your key learning for that day?
Okay, so this is your invention, or this is something that you bought?
This is something I bought.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. It's something I bought.
Now, people normally get to journaling as a tool to wrap their heads around, I don't know, to make sense of their lives, really, which is kind of the essence of the podcast. So what sent you down this road?
Like I said, I knew that journaling was something you should do. I actually, part of my profession is life coaching, career coaching. Oh. And, you know, and so, yeah, so that's part of what I did. And, but I want it to be more reflective. This is something I've been wanting to do. And I didn't even know this journal existed. I actually had a friend that had a 5-year, like the one, she had a journal that was 5 years and she had completed it. And so I'm like, I didn't know these existed. So I searched and searched and I found this one that you said. It is very nice quality. It's like leather on the outside. It's very durable. It's been everywhere with me. But the most important, it's like the bottom of that journal you see is like a compass. It really provides a guide and reflection and reality, mm-hmm. right? It grounds you in your feelings too sometimes. So if I read something and then I look at, oh, how did I feel the year before that or the year before that? It grounds me that I've come farther than I think, or things that I've overcome mm-hmm. is better, or things that, you know what, I need to let go of that I've been holding on longer than I should have that you don't think you should. Mm. So it really creates a grounding compass of the direction you need to go, even on a daily basis.
Kendra, you're speaking my language. You're dropping these amazing bombs in terms of, okay, so you're a life coach. You practice this thing of journaling. So what you don't know about me is that for 15 years, I was working with a very kind of successful leader, right? One of the co-founders of DHL. So Po Chung, and we really looked at the nature of leadership, the nature of service leadership, like of being connected with others. And so in the coaching that I do and in the consulting that I do, one of the big things that we say is journaling can help you clarify your thinking. So in your case, it gives you a historical perspective, but it also gives, you know, in terms of how we talk about it, is that it gives you a kind of a handle on you know, what went through your week or your month or your day, right? So talk to me about your coaching, and also promote it. Like, what is that?
So awesome. Yeah, the name of my company is Fulfilled to Be.
Okay.
So you can fulfill your life to be whatever you want to if you're willing, right? That's kind of the key. And there's tools, there's resources, and you can have aid in that. I think some people can't do that because, one, they may not have experienced that life that they may dream of for it to be reality. So finding to search that, they don't know what their own triggers are and opportunity, but also the reality of that. And so we all need help. No one is an island to themselves. And so getting assistance to that. So some people are hindered because they just don't have the resources to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And so that is what I try to provide, is the reflection, what hinders ourselves, what stops ourselves from being able to be successful, what are those roadblocks we create for ourselves, that imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. you know, that can occur, and then just finding those short wins to celebrate. And I think that's what even the journaling does, is create that reality of, I am better, there are things I can do, but also, like you said, assess that guiding light of moving forward.
So how did you land in this? So one of the things that, because it's audio and it's a podcast, people hear your mm-hmm. voice and they kind of, uh-huh. it's a theater of the mind. So they're kind of imagining, you know, right. what you look like. And so you have this right. brightness, you have this massive smile. You look at you. You're like, you're radiating. How did you become you?
Oh, painstakingly. how I became me, that's a very good question. I never thought of it that way. Like, how did you become you? I think through the awesomeness, this is going to sound really crazy, the awesomeness of the challenges in my life. We have challenges in our lives to show the best us and to show direction where we are. And I think some people fall so prey to let our circumstances dictate who we are, mm-hmm. but our circumstances can mold who we are, but it doesn't define. And I think I haven't had it, you know, super easy, right? I paid my way through college. I paid my way through school. I, you know, navigated, you know, through certain things and mm-hmm. some other personal challenges, right? Dysfunction. But it's that's when you find your inner self and that courageousness to find, mm-hmm. like, where is my happiness then, right, within myself. And so I think I became me through all of that. And then that is what made me a coach, is that if I can do it, then other people can too. Mm-hmm. And so that is what drives me to do what I do from motivational, you know, I don't like the concept of motivational speaking, but motivational speaking to coaching, mm-hmm. To helping others, you know, and trying to create that legacy. That's actually where, you know, fulfill is a word, and to be, right, to become, right, to be, that's actually, it represents the name of my company, represents actually my legacy. My father's name was actually Phil, mm-hmm. right? So for Phil, mm-hmm. right, you think of that, fulfill, it's a play on words, to be, and that all of my children's names start with the letter B.
Oh.
And so to them.
Oh.
So that's just a little bit more of how do we create it, breaking generational, I would call them strongholds or limits of being better for each generation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important to think about, not just for ourselves, because if you have children, how can I be better for myself so my children can be better,
right,
than I ever was? Yeah.
Oof, that's a lot. okay. situate me. Okay, so where are you geographically? You're in the Central Time Zone.
I am in Central Time Zone. I am in the United States, and I am in the Midwest. So I'm in the Midwest region. I'm in Minnesota, not far from Canada.
What is going on that I have had these authors, these people from Minnesota? What is it? And I've asked this before, like, what's in the water that people from Minnesota are like this? This is crazy.
There's probably nothing else to do.
Craziness. Okay. No, amazing. Yeah. Okay, so I'm just trying to wrap my head around what kind of person you are. That okay, so you have you're starting the conversation with my 3-year diary.
Mm-hmm.
This is a photo that you made of mm-hmm. these two.
That was my accomplishment. Yes. So that was a big milestone. So at the New Year's for me, I was like, I did it. I made it through my 3 years. I kept my promise of writing, you know, or filling it out every day. I wouldn't say there's sometimes I would not do that day, because mm-hmm. I write in my entry that morning. So I do a reflection. So I don't write that day that night. I sleep on it. And yeah. then when I wake up that morning, I'll do it. So there's a few days I might have missed, but I always said I will go back and reflect regardless mm-hmm. on the day. So it's more of a concept of reflection. So I did it every day, and I'm like, I'm going to do it again.
Nice.
So like I said, I'm on year 3, and I took a picture of it, and I just posted it. You know, I never posted during my 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm going to commit to it. I'm not going to, because sometimes you can put it out in the universe too soon.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
let me complete it. But I did put it out and said, hey, I've accomplished this task for myself, and I am going to then do a challenge. I'm putting out in the universe, I'm going to do it again.
Wow.
So that's what the picture that I took, that I was very proud that I accomplished one of my goals.
So what did you study in college, university? What molded your thoughts?
I studied human resources, so human resource development. And then I was literally one semester away from minoring in psychology.
Okay.
And I, like I said, I paid my way through school,
mm-hmm.
and I was not going to go to summer school and pay for that. Let me just walk across the stage and get this done. So, I do have a high interest in psychology. And then I was just debating, do I wanted to go into counseling or really go into the field of human resources and development? And so I received my master's in human resources. So
okay.
I decided to go that route and work in corporate America for a while.
Amazing. So in terms of the overlap, right, if we were to do a Venn diagram of your life and my life,
right,
the overlap is that, for, you know, like I said, for 15 years, basically focused on this thing of service leadership, mm-hmm. of helping people in a workplace figure out ways to work better together.
Yeah.
And that's coaching, and that's, you know, understanding like business processes, mm-hmm. and better communication, that kind of stuff. So talking about putting things out into the universe in a way like this podcast episode, right? Like here we mm-hmm. are. We're recording these thoughts. Because of the shape of the format of the podcast is we kind of go from photo to photo. So is there anything else you'd like to say about this particular image and your two really stunning diaries? I mean, it's a great, yeah, it's a great also testament to your, you know, to your 3 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think all of us, you know, part of this testament too, is I said I started this because I had a friend did a 5-year journal. I'm like, I can't commit to that.
Right.
Some people said, great. I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, I'm heading towards that, but in the start, I'm like, I couldn't be her. There may be some people that's listening and like, I can't be her. I can't do 3 years. Well, don't be me.
Yeah.
Do 6 months. Do 1 month, do a year. And so part of this is my personal development is my personal development. And you have to assess that's right. So even though that sounds like a maybe weighty task for some people when it comes to development, each development should be cookie cutter to your life, not anyone else's.
Yeah.
And so that's probably the only statement I have to make.
Okay, what am I looking at? Okay. So it's a photo of, okay, so it's a photo of like what looks like a flat screen TV,
right,
mounted on a brick wall.
Uh-huh.
At the bottom right, there it could be names, and it says, yep, round, 9 round chow.
Uh-huh.
Next to that, it says 9 round, 1 ring, then good workout, 2 rings, great workout, 3 rings, killer workout.
Uh-huh.
And you've got like a little bell with a small hammer.
Right.
And then on the flat screen, it says calories 440, something 79, maximum per hour 69%. And the name, I guess, performer or the person who's training, I guess, is right. Conqueror.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What am I looking at, Kendra? What is this?
This is my workout for the day at some point in time. So that fight name, so the name of the workout facility I attend is called 9 Round. So they're getting a plug in.
Okay.
But mm-hmm. if you look at this, so you get a fight name, and it took me weeks, honestly, to get a fight name, but that okay. is my fight name, Conqueror with a K. That is my fight name.
Yep.
And you wear a heart rate monitor, and it kind of, when you go through, it's a high intensity workout. So you have, it's circuit training, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. It's boxing. It's a mix of kickboxing and boxing with, you know, gloves and everything. And then they monitor you.
Nice.
And so the blue, and it's actually even different colors. So the blue, so it's gray, blue, green, yellow, red. And so it puts you in the heart rate zone. So it's very competitive, as you can see. That board that you see, so I intentionally did the board, is all the people that are in the gym, and that's even only a sliver of the board.
Oh,
and
wow.
every week there's a challenge, and so the chow is the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will have, you know, your names, and you put on the board how you did the challenge for the week, and then you challenge within yourself. So you challenge amongst the people that attend, and then you challenge of yourself, because the points, a good workout is considered 60 points. This mm-hmm. day, I had 79 points.
Mm-hmm.
So that 79 is the points. And then if you want to,
you crushed it.
And then, yep, that was a good day. I took a picture of it and I was happy. And then if you want to, before you leave, you can ring the bell. You get the hammer and you ring it once for a good workout, 2 for a great workout. And I think I deserve 3 rings for that. I think that was a killer workout.
Nice. Day. How many people have told you in a conversation that you're a bit of a weirdo?
Oh, I accept that. Thank you. I receive that.
okay. Conqueror with a K. Okay. What are we trying to say here? Or what are you trying to say with this? Beyond the fact that it's a testament to your killer work.
Right. No, it's not about me. It's a journey. Right. It's my wellness journey.
Yeah.
I am hitting a signature birthday in the next few months, and I've done different things in workouts, but I am very happy that I've made it to where I am in my age, because my father had his first heart attack and stroke within his 40s.
Holy shit. Wow.
My mom had breast cancer in her 40s. Oh. So to knock on wood, to say that I've made it past that age,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not where I want to be, but I found also, you know, I've done different workouts, but I'll tell you, I didn't realize how competitive I am. Like when my heart rate monitor isn't working and that screen doesn't show, I get a little mad. Like I'm just happy that I found that thing, but all of us needs to figure out a way to be well. Okay. And so this is about my wellness journey,
right?
And finding that thing, right? I'm not, you're not going to see me in a Pilates table in those strings. You're not going to, you know, I used to do, I don't know if you've heard of P90X.
Yeah.
My body can't do that anymore. Like that is too intense, you know, or insanity. I've done that before. That's weird. Like that is too much, but within my age and what I can do, there are some people older than me that it's competition against myself. Mm-hmm. And this is, I think I found my love. But you know what? I've gone through that journey. I was really popular. I don't know if you ever heard of Billy Blanks. Have you heard of him?
Nope.
Back when VHS tapes were in and he would sell his VHS tapes. And it was kind of the same concept. So I'm happy. But all of us, I think, need to find our wellness, right? So the first picture, right, had to do with mental health. This has to do with holistic or physical health.
Yep.
And so I think all of those are very important when it comes to our well-being.
Yes. Big yes to that. Okay. So you're a coach. How much of your coaching, because this idea of your holistic approach, I mean, definitely something that lands in my world as well in terms of how I connect with clients. So how do you tackle or how do you bring up this idea of physicality, being in your own body? Yeah, as a kind of anchor or a tether to, you know, throwing in all the analogies and all the whatever metaphors, anchors and tethers. Like how do you make that real for a client or for a team to sort of say, okay, listen, in order to be a professional, blah, 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 you need to be in your own body, right? So how do you make that real?
You know, it's very interesting. It shows up in different ways. You know, I don't want to stereotype or rationalize or generalize, but I would say most of my clients, not saying all of them, right? But most of my clients end up being women. And I will tell you, here's a little tidbit for me. When I first started, so I've been coaching now for, man, it's been over a decade, about 14 years.
Respect.
When I started my business plan, this was very important to me. I actually, and it's now expired, I got certified in personal training. I wanted to understand the body. Now, I didn't keep it up. It's just, I want it to be knowledgeable. I'm someone always doing that. But how I do that is it's when people say, I don't feel confident. And you pull back the onion, you pull, not the onion, but the layer, right? It is stinky sometimes, but you know, you pull back the layer, you pull back the layer, you pull back the layer. And a lot of times it's because maybe I don't feel good or I don't look good or, you know, there's something physical that they don't like, you know, it could be in different traits. And so looking at that and how that it can be different, you know, there's different ways you probably have done the wheel before, right? There's different ways of where you get energy. So I talk about energy management. That's very important. And sometimes they don't have the energy is because of the nutrition or the physicality of their ability to sustain. And so it shows up that way. I don't directly ask them. It shows up in different ways. Sometimes I end up with a lot of athletes, actually. It was one of my first clients. She was amazing. She was a nurse and she did marathons and she wanted to do her first triathlon.
Well, okay.
And she was being challenged. She didn't know what to do. Her hindrance wasn't her body, but her hindrance was the acceptance of others, right? So wellness or even the exercise of it has to do with kind of back where we are of what am I willing to do? So I try to do that little by little. I think that was the kind of theme I had before. But I don't ask them, but it usually comes up in some kind of way because it is part of the whole. I hope that makes sense.
And I think, we'll get there. I just want to say by the way, ambitious projects that you can't see the end or that you don't know what the end will be. Like you kind of say, okay, well, this is putting a line in the sand. From this point forward, I'm going in that direction as a coach, as a person. So in your case, one example was your journal, right? Your 3-year journal. That's something you did for yourself. Two is you have this image of this particular kind of workout that suits your character and suits your personality. Okay. Another one, you know, like in terms of in my case, right, with the podcast, when I started it, I was just like, the birth of this podcast was I was in a commercial, in a Sony commercial, because I had given myself a 6.5-year photo challenge. And then that got noticed by Sony, and then they did a commercial about it. And the idea was to make a show with me as the host. And it never got off the ground for various reasons. Hard to get these things together. And then I thought, okay, I'm just going to do a podcast and see where it ends up. And you happen to be episode number 200. So well done to both of us.
Yay! That is awesome.
Now, here's the question. Okay, enough about me. So okay. The question is, you're the type of person in who you are and all this stuff that we're very similar. Like, you make a line in the sand, okay, I'm giving myself a goal. Like the coaching that you just started to do. And Conqueror isn't an accident. That's the sort of the fight name you have. So for somebody listening who's kind of sitting on an idea or a project or a big, like for example, a big project, like in my case, 350 week long photo project. So I gave myself this challenge, or the same thing with the podcast. And in your case, the journals and then the training. So why don't you riff on this idea of if you want to grow, you kind of have to put before you an ambitious goal.
I think having the goal, I'm going to tell you, I've gone through cycles of working out. That's funny that you hit 200 with your episode. Congratulations. I received a text literally last week saying I hit my 100 workout in doing this. So I'm still very new in doing this.
Nice.
So it is very metrics driven, and I like that. And so to help someone that has a goal, right? I think part of why I failed before and the others is because I didn't have the actions. I used the actions to be my overall goal. So my return on investment is my health. My return on investment isn't losing weight. My return on investment, which some people are, you know, I've done the take the pictures or you expire to. Now you're going to laugh like some years and years ago because I've always struggled with my weight. I had Janet Jackson's body and I put my face on it, like all of these things. That doesn't matter anymore as much as doing the action. So my goal for even the working out was I'm going to work out 3 times a week. That's realistic. What is a realistic and ambitious? Okay, I'll give myself a bonus and a reward if I do more than 3 a week. And I think that became more attainable, that I have been more consistent doing that than saying I'm going to lose 20 pounds or I'm going to lose 10 pounds. And I have, but I feel better. I have definition in my arms because part of this is lifting weights that I hadn't had before. So I think when it comes to this journey of this Mecca, if we learned anything, even in this pandemic, we don't control anything. And so sometime doing this outcome that I want to be this, you may not be this, but you may be something better that is that, right? Something that is the opposite. So it's the process and where you develop, not the end result. And so if you focus on the process, like you said, like you like to have goals and we have goals. Let's work on the process. My process each day, let me hit 60. That's it. I have a 79 day. That's great. But I hit 60. So hit very baseline of let me meet here. Okay. Let me just show up. Maybe that's all you do. You know what? I need to start walking. I just, you know what? Let me put my shoes on. Just getting used to putting your shoes on is a step. I don't know if you've read the book Atomic Habits. It's the little things, and then you start, you know, giving yourself wins for the little things. Matter of fact, in his book, now he's getting a plug for me, is that maybe you want to walk, right? Maybe you want to walk. It's the little things, like maybe you want to walk during lunch, and let's say that day you made it in the elevator, you end up talking to someone, and you didn't make it during your lunchtime to walk. You have to celebrate the win that you put the shoes on, you made it to the elevator and to the door. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to make it to the door. So I think that's what happens when people get upset. They don't celebrate the little wins or the actions to get in the process. It's the process that leads you there. Mm-hmm. The outcome may be better or anything you could have ever imagined. And so I think that is important. And I think that changed my style and lifestyle. Like the book, like I said, it's put what you're willing to do. What will be, you know, what's hard to do, and then do one little step past that. Mm-hmm. And you only know what's hard for you.
Okay. You call this image awareness, H-E-I-C?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's, there are four women in this, I don't know if it's a fake background or if it's a real background, if you're in a studio of sorts. Four of the women are wearing this incredible, bright, beautiful dresses. That's you mm-hmm. in the middle with a black dress. Yes. On three of the women is balanced a stainless steel or tin sort of metal bowl with fruit and pineapple and banana. It looks Afro-Cuban, if I can make a guess. Please take it away, because this is like a popping. What a popping photo.
Yeah. Isn't it a beautiful photo?
Everyone's smiling. Everyone's radiating.
Yes. So that is a real photo. That is in a real location. It is not a studio. Those are real people. You're correct. They're Afro-Latino, but they're in Colombia. They're in Cartagena. Okay. And so that's where I was. And these are beautiful women. Those colors are actually the color of Colombia's flag.
Yep.
So the yellow, the red, and the blue are the colors of Colombia. And so these women are amazing women. I was at a party, and that was my first time visiting. So I went and visited Colombia in September, and then I just got back 2 weeks ago or a week ago.
Oh, wow.
From Colombia. So it's my second visit. And you will see these different ladies in the streets and the fruits and the baskets. They actually, for the first time, it was in season when I went a few weeks ago, that they have these they call them candies, but they're fruit. Mm. And I don't know how I don't know if it's fermented, and they're different fruits, and it's so sweet. And it's like in a syrup. They had papayas, they had mangoes, coconut, so delicious. Mm. And so you can go to malls and they'll have different stands with the food and the fruit. And there's just amazing stories. And I love awareness. I love learning about other cultures. I love learning about people being happy. As you see, they're smiling.
Yeah. And everybody's bright.
Isn't it? So it's beautiful. I love conversation. So one of the things that was different for me in learning culture is I actually got my hair cut in Colombia. Mm-hmm. And just hearing that story of that store owner, she said she was a electrical engineer and they started 4 years ago. And she was talking about her hair journey, because I have curly hair. And if people have curly hair that's listening, it is a real struggle and the reality of how to navigate through that. And so I went to a curly hair salon specialized in curly hair. And she was telling me her journey and how they started with two chairs. And here it is 4 years later, they have eight stylist chairs in the salon. So I just love awareness. I love from different places, different ways to have conversation, and this makes me smile, right? And this ability, yeah.
So again, just to kind of bring the listener in, so it's like the ground is like the floor is tile, so it's inside a building, and the lighting is it's cream colored walls a little bit. The four women are wearing these incredible dresses. They're so bright and lively and fun. And of course, the North American from Minnesota is wearing a black dress. He has an anchor.
It's actually a dark green. It actually a hunter green. Yeah, it's a hunter green and it's a brown belt. So it is a darker color. So yeah, but it's a green at least. It's not black.
No, but it's such a great photo, because what it is whoever is making the photograph was able to kind of inspire this honest, bright. So the moment must have been very light. So why don't you connect this notion of awareness, right? Because the five of you are all super present, clearly. why don't you make a connection of, because you tied it into the to this hair salon, that the owner of this hair salon. So as a gift to the listener, mm-hmm. how do you develop awareness? How do you feed awareness? How do you frame awareness? How do you make that the center of your life?
Honestly, living through conflict.
Okay.
I know that sounds kind of, but you know, when conflict arises or differences arise in my life, I didn't grow up in Minnesota, by the way. Mm-hmm. I've been in Minnesota for 12 years. Mm-hmm. I've actually lived in 7 different states across the United States, literally from all the way from the West Coast and the Northwest. I've lived in Washington State and Oregon. Mm-hmm. I've lived in Utah. So if you look at the United States map and you go all the way across to the other end in the East Coast, I've lived up and down the East Coast. So mm-hmm. North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, and then different cities. And then living in those different places or looking at things or people, you say something different from a dialect, you're still in the United States, yep. but you see these differences. Or within my own personal family, my mom is 1 of 10. I got 28 first cousins.
Wow.
Right. And so when I would go visit them, they would like, you're different. Or you talk different. Or you say this different. And those differences make me say, am I different? Or kind of like what you said, has anyone called you a weirdo? I'm like, absolutely. And I'm okay with that. Right. Because just because that's your perception of me and mm-hmm. not who I think I am. And so that's where that awareness comes from.
Right.
Right. Of those differences, those wherever in the level within your own family or conflict or why can't we get along? I have to start with me. Mm-hmm. And then I have to say, are they assessing me by their experiences or who I am? Mm-hmm. And then I have to determine, do I believe that truth or not? I can, you know, when someone thinks of you, you can receive it or you can reject it. And right. so that's where, or you can take part of it. I will take this part, but not this part. Thank you very much. And wow. that's where I think it all starts from.
Yes. Yes. There's this notion that we're shaped really by our wounds, right? We're shaped by conflict. We're shaped by challenges. You know, we learn a hard lesson. We get hurt. And that teaches us, okay, not going to do that again because that leads to pain. Or sometimes that hurt is a pleasurable one, right? Such as like when you hit 79 points, you know, where you're like pushing yourself hard and it's not easy. Mm-hmm. So you moved and lived across the U.S. quite a bit and that shapes you. Now as you go in the world, you have this identity, this sense of self. That says, oh, I'm like this. And that's your kind of constructed mental model of who you are. And then somebody turns around and says, oh, you're a weirdo. You talk funny. Or, oh, you say weird things. And then all of a sudden, you get feedback from the outside world that says your self-perception isn't the same maybe as what other people are seeing. So how do you get the strength to kind of impose or project your awareness to say, no, hold on. You're saying I'm X, but actually I'm not even Y. I'm like 3.147, whatever it is, you know? So
right. Uh-huh.
How do you get that assertiveness to kind of be who you are? Sorry, my questions are a little bizarre.
No, I don't think it's, I think that's good. I mean, I probably will be writing in my journal about it tomorrow. I think, you know, part of it is, I have to say personally for me is my faith, and my belief system of certain things. So I do follow a certain faith that grounds me, that says who I am and, you know, and trying to think through that. So that's part of it. I do have a very strong faith in my belief within that. And I would say the other thing, I'll give honor to my parents and mm-hmm. some of my heartache comes from them. I'm just going to be truthful as well. And then part of it is then spending time honestly and being okay with myself. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's parts of that, like, you know, of where that grounding is. And I realize everyone doesn't have it. And that is why I want everyone to feel it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I do what I do, really, and feel what I feel. I was actually today talking to a client, and I've been working with this company for a while in coaching. So I do company contracts as well, and I do individual. And she was just telling me one of the my former clients at this company of how she felt that she was different. And she told a story, and it made me feel good, right? And it literally was today. She said, Kendra, I had met this person before. And she said, I can't even tell you the transformation that I've seen in her. And she said, the situation that happened. I said, well, what? I said, can you give an example? She said that they were in a meeting, and the person basically in the meeting told my client, that my former client, that she was not helpful or not worthless, or they didn't need her. And I'm like, wow. And she said, Kendra, she said, I knew who she used to be. And she said, her response was, this is the value I bring. This is what I am. And I deserve to be here. And she was like, Kendra, I'm telling you, I knew her months before that. She wouldn't have responded that way. And it had to be through something and a confidence in herself. And so I think it's just by little things. She was an amazing client. She was one of my clients. I'll put her in the top three that she came with notes, or, and she would be vulnerable. And so I think part of that is the vulnerability of telling the truth of how you feel. And that's what I try to do for my clients as well. So awareness, there's this identity of where does that come from, right? Remember that person that I told you about, if you looked at her on the outside, the one that was doing a triathlon, not only did she was working to be a triathlon, she was a nurse. She also had dogs that went to special homes for people. So she had service dogs or comfort companion dogs. So this was an amazing woman on the outside, but all of us, the inside of us, she kept saying, like, we would start a coaching session. She's like, I'm good. And I'm like, okay, you hired me. Like, what can I help you with? Why are we here? And it would it went for weeks. We had a few sessions. Then it would always start with, I'm good. I have nothing. And I'm like, why did she hire me? And so finally I said, okay, how was your day? Did you hit your goals? No, that's kind of why she had. She's like, no, I just can't swim. I can't get to my swimming done. And I said, well, why can't you get your swimming done? She's like, it's because the gym only has personal swimming hours at a certain time. And I said, okay, well, what are those times? She said, well, the times are this, this, this. And I said, okay, well, why can't you make this time? And she said, well, I have to walk my dogs at this time. Well, why can't you do this time? She's like, well, I'm at work at that time. Well, what can't you do? And so we went back to, I said, well, what can you do to change? And so as we continued to talk, we're going through, that was an easy conversation. And she said, well, I can walk the dogs. I said, well, who else can walk the dogs in the morning? She's like, I could do early morning. She's like, well, I don't have anybody else. I said, so you don't have anyone else? Well, I could ask you my husband, but I can't do that. And she kept talking. I said, stop. Why can't you ask your husband to walk the dogs? She said, because they're my dogs. I said, okay, why can't you ask you didn't answer my question. Why can't you ask your husband to walk your dogs? She said, because they're my dogs. I said, you didn't answer my question. Why can't you ask? Well, it's my responsibility, and that would be selfish. I said, has he ever told you you were selfish with you and the dogs? She said, no. I said, why are you hindering yourself and your ability to ask your husband? And that's awareness. So sometimes we can't do it on our own. This is someone that was very strong mentally, that used to helping others, but she didn't know how to ask for help herself.
Right.
So sometimes this awareness, we need help that we don't know. Even the strongest people need help. And I think sometime in that awareness, we need to ask for help. And that's what coaching does. If people don't even know, like, what does a coach do that's different?
Right.
That's an example of what a coach does.
What a trip. Okay. You took us on a nice ride there. That was great. So as you're saying this, I am aware and looking at this photo of the five of you, looking, it's so bright, so alive, so great. And now somehow we have to jump from this to the next photo, and I'm really curious to see where you're taking us. Oh, here we go. Okay. So it's a photo of a book, and it says Perspectives. And on the cover of the book is a kind of a Polaroid. I mean, the way it's designed, I guess it looks like a Polaroid of two. You don't see the feet. You just see like two shoes, like red Converses and maybe some white just sneakers on a wooden deck. And it says, building meaningful connections by learning 4 steps to courageously speak up by Kendra Q. Dodd. And the book is on like a towel, which could be on a sofa of sorts. There's a photo, there's like somebody's phone there. It's like, it's a photo of your book. Hallelujah. So yeah. There's a question there. You answer whatever question you think is in there.
I don't know what question it could be. Like, you wrote a book? Yeah, I wrote a book. you know, why would it be on a towel with a phone? Because, you know, I think sometime... So yes, I wrote a book. I reflect on it myself, right? It's a tool. How I ended up, what made me finally write it isn't all the reasons of what I did, but it's what I wanted it to be. But it is an opportunity where all the things we talked about, where you can reflect or you can get to know others. And then also how to honestly have conversations with others and get to know others, right? That nice. Awareness that conversations that I had before. So it's a very interactive book. Mm-hmm. It's not something that, ooh, let me be entertained. It is some work. I've had some professional evaluations. They're like, for someone that wants to be entertained. So it's something that you can do leisurely. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'll take it with me. I was like, okay, let me sit. I'll even use it myself. I know some client, I know one person that they keep it on their desk, and because it has a 4-step process of, okay, I'm in customer service. Let me pick up the book and read something to help me through customer service. So it's very interactive in nature, but it can go as far and as short as you want it to. Like I have someone that I know purchased a book and they reached out to me. They're like, is 6 months an okay goal to read the book? Yes. It's not something that if you read this book in one sitting, you haven't done the work. It's something that's thought provoking. It's something that spends time. Even if you say it takes a year, it is something you can pick up and put down. It's something, oh, let me go sit by the pool and let me bring it up and let me, and you don't have to start anywhere. There are like three sections of it. The first part of it is self-reflection. How did I become me? And the middle part is how we can be different from each other, like different daily things in which we can have conflict. And the last part are some case studies or challenges and activities. Mm-hmm.
So in essence, your book, is this your first book?
It's my first.
Okay, well done. So your first book is essentially like a coaching manual, really. It's like a self-coaching manual. And you called it Perspectives. And the choice of perspectives is all about points of view of how to see, so it's the selection, for example, of the photo on the cover of the book is like a quasi Polaroid of somebody's making a photo of their feet with somebody else. Mm-hmm. So clearly it's a connection of one person with another person and a different perspective, for example, of how two people are meeting. Because you're not really looking at the other, you're looking at each other's feet, which is kind of a deflection. You know, I'm just saying what's coming to my mind, right?
Yeah.
So, and you've mentioned the word conflict. So how much of your work is conflict resolution?
A lot of it, you know, of having to navigate through it. A lot of it is conflict resolution. And what they call, so those feet, as you look on it, are actually on a bridge. Mm-hmm. And so when we hit conflict, when someone says something that we disagree with, there could be levels of it, you know, it may make you gulp a little bit or swallow a little bit, or it may make you just pause a little bit and say, why would they do or say that? I call that a bridge moment. Mm-hmm. And we can make a choice to stand in front of each other, right? Not look away and kind of look at each other and engage and do disarming statements. I talk about disarming statements of how can I engage to understand that person more. But instead, a lot of times what we do when we hit a bridge moment is we kind of let it pass. So I go my way of thinking and you never learn what that other person is truly thinking and their intentions. And so that's what I'm trying to do is, you know, before it becomes really a conflict, it's during those little bridge moments where, you know, let's say I have curly hair. Let's do something simple of, you know what? I think I like your hair straight. Huh. That makes, that doesn't sit right. Right. That doesn't land right. But I don't say anything. Mm-hmm. But instead I'm like, can you help me understand why you would say that? Yeah. Right. That's that bridge moment of let me engage more and then help them understand your perspective of how, that made me go, why do I think you, why do you think I look better if my hair was straight?
Okay. So when you got to the moment where you're like, I'm going to put this into a book form, was it more of a, for lack of a better term, a business development? I'm going to do this as a means to promote my coaching. I'm going to do this because I need a kind of a document or I need a tool that I can leave with a client to say, okay, look, when we're not together, this is kind of work that you can do on your own. What was the decision point that sparked that? Did it come from the market? Did it come from clients saying, you know, I wish I could have why did this come up that you wanted to put together a book?
People talked about it too, but to tell you the impetus and the key point of making me do this, I live in Minnesota, right? I wrote this book. It came out in 2021. If you go back into 2020, I live in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. It hit the world. It was the killing of George Floyd.
Right. Right.
We were in the mecca of that. And clients were coming to me. If you think about how the world felt, can you think about being in that center of that killing? Things were happening that it didn't show on TV that were happening in my city. And people were needing help of how to process through a pandemic, process through this killing, process. The people were coming to our town doing some things that you didn't see. And I was only one person. I was being spread thin. I was on this call, that call. I would do these sessions with people. And what can I do to help people? Things were coming up and things were said. Also in America, you also had the elections. So during all of this turmoil in 2020, I felt I just started writing. And so it was lethargic in a way, but also I felt people were like, what can I do to help? Like, I don't know. And I don't know how to process. So that is what made me really start putting pen to paper or typing.
I mean, maybe the audio came funny. Did you said it was lethargic or cathartic?
Cathartic.
Okay.
Lethargic. Did I say lethargic?
I don't know.
No, cathartic. Yeah, that's not the word.
No.
And I am a writer. Yes. But no, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why don't you, for the people who Floyd's name, you know, when you said it, I certainly remember that time, but can you kind of summarize from your perspective, can you bridge, you know, what that was like? Like why, so me being in Hong Kong, arguably as far away on the other side of the planet, I mean, not technically true, but metaphorically true, like very far away from it. How do you bridge that gap, that distance to say, this is what it felt like at the time? And look, even though it was years ago, it wasn't that long ago, right? Like, why don't you kind of summarize and bridge that gap for a listener to say, like, this is kind of what happened and this is what it felt like?
Well, it hit me personally. First of all, you had law enforcement that has been accused at that time and where it began of killing a citizen. And people were saying bad things about the police officers and what that is. So here's a little peek under the tent more for me. My father was a police officer.
Right.
So I grew up in law enforcement. I have pictures of understanding that. There then is the race element of this, right? And so then I am a person of color, people can't see me. So then I have a father that is a person of color. And so you have all of these mixed reviews of police, what that looks like, brutality, law enforcement, then you have a race mechanism of this. So I'm feeling that. And then people are saying, what does that mean for me? And then the concept of death, the fact that someone dying on video, this is videotaped. So seeing someone literally life taken from them on video is jarring. And then you have people were coming into our town and our city causing ruckus. Okay. There were fires. There was burnings. There were people that were in all white cars. Like, you know, friends were calling me, or is everything okay? Because I'm not from here. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm in the suburbs. Well, guess what? These people start visiting in the suburbs. Mm. They were all black tenant windows. All of a sudden in the mornings, bricks would show up. And then there would be riot, you know, people would have peaceful protests, but these people that were visiting our city, and some of them not, would have these bricks and then start bricks and fights start coming. And then the police have to get involved. And then all of a sudden the military got involved. Mm-hmm. These were heightened sense of, and I would have these free, I started having free sessions of how can we talk through this? How are you feeling? And then you would have then conflict within people of the same races that would have, mm-hmm. then you'll have people that were from immigrant backgrounds disagreeing with people with non-immigrant. It just became chaos of fear. Mm-hmm. And some of this fear had to do with many things that they didn't deal with that then built up, became a perspective mm-hmm. that was maybe false yeah. or a stereotype. And how can I lessen this? Mm-hmm. And it only starts in the day to day. It starts in how do we cross over to each other. And it was very intense at that time because there was this fear of, am I safe? Mm-hmm. This perceptions. And then, like I said, it continued to grow. So every time I started to write and I would research, I did a lot of research too within this book. This wasn't just a fiction. This mm-hmm. was let me research and understand why are there differences? Why are there conflict? Why are people saying this thing? Why all of a sudden if there's an issue from people of descendants of slaves from immigrants that are within the same race. I didn't understand or the concept of women or men and places, and people were seeking me for professional help to navigate through these conflicts within the workplaces. It seeped over greatly than normal because mm-hmm. the heightened sense of fear, the heightened sense of emotion was overflowing for people, especially right. in this area or overall.
Kendra, Perspectives is the book. People can get it. Thank you for giving us, or giving me, the perspective of what that experience, what that time was like. And for putting that into the universe, right? Putting it out there in terms of how to get a handle, get come to grips with this difficult, you know, experiences. And I'm kind of maybe wrestling a little bit with the words, because what you've said is so heavy, and somehow we've already been talking for an hour. Somehow mm-hmm. we have to. So clearly, for me, I want to motivate a listener to check out, to pick up Perspectives as a self-coaching manual, for sure, with the link in the description and all that stuff. But how about I leave it to you? The mission of the podcast is that, you know, life is a gift that we have to make every second count. So
yes.
Take us to school and coach us through there.
I do believe that every life is a gift, which goes back to everything we talked about from your wellness, physical, right? And how do we do that gift that I do look at? I'm hitting a milestone birthday of what that looks like for me, that I, you know, knock on wood, I didn't have to fight through cancer like my mom, or, you know, a stroke like my father by the time I'm reaching this age. So I that's a milestone. But for that individual and that life is a gift, I think just spending a little bit of time each morning to process, I believe in the three things you're grateful for, and the three things that you're hopeful for today. And then having an affirmation of that is something that is very important. That's just the start. And if you can't think of three things, just to think that I woke up this morning is enough to be grateful. Or think of your body parts, that I can write this, that I'm grateful. But the gratitude really plays a lot into this of where you are. So three things you're grateful for, three things you're hopeful for within the day. And what do you affirm about yourself that no one can tell you differently? And I think that will help you set the stage for the day. And if you hit a bad point in the day, go back to square one of those three things, those 3-3-1 that I talked about.
Kendra Q. Dodd, thank you so much. This has been really great.
Thank you.
You are so bright. You're so great. Thank you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed this so much. Thank you for letting me share.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Shooting it raw?
Yes. Shooting it raw. Ooh, baby, I like